Please turn with me in the Word of God to the Gospel of John and to chapter 5. If you've got the blue church Bible, it's on page 1643. Page 1643. And I'd like to read from verse 16 down to verse 23. The context, very briefly, is that Jesus has healed a paralyzed man on the Jewish Sabbath. So we pick up the reading, John 5, verse 16. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Amen. This morning we resume our series considering some of the many names and titles ascribed to our blessed Saviour in the Scriptures. We're using the alphabet as our guide in this series. And just to remind you that Jesus is our advocate, Jesus is our bridegroom, Jesus is the captain of our salvation, Jesus is the desire of all nations. Jesus is God's elect. He's our elect because by grace we've chosen him to be our Saviour. Jesus is our faithful friend. Jesus is our great God. Jesus is the heir of all things. And Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And so this morning we come to the letter J. We could think about Jesus as Jesus. The name Jesus means the Lord saves, or the Lord is salvation. And this name was given to Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. Matthew 1, verse 21. Or we could think about Jesus as our eternal joy. Psalm 43 comes to mind. The psalmist says, "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy." God is my exceeding joy. Jesus Christ is our joy. And that's why in the New Testament we are exhorted time and time again to rejoice in the Lord. But for this morning, I'd like us to consider Jesus as our judge. It's something I feel is often overlooked in our thinking about the Lord. Let's listen to the words of Jesus himself, recorded for us by the Apostle John. Words we've just read. John 5, verse 22, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." Now, the all-important context of these rather awesome words is found in verses 16 through to 18. The Lord had healed a paralyzed man on a Saturday, the Jewish day of rest. Christ's enemies then accused him of breaking the fourth commandment. Jesus answered that charge by identifying himself as God's son, who is always at work with his Father. And so, as we read, the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because not only in their eyes had he broken the Sabbath, but he had made himself equal with God. And so our Lord proceeds in the verses which follow to prove his equality with God, to show his enemies that he and his Father are one. And this includes judgment, as in our text. The Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment, not some judgment, not most judgment, but all judgment to the Son. And it's important for us to note one great reason for this in verse 23, that all should honour the Son just as they honour the Father. Jesus should be honoured with the very same honour which we ascribe to God the Father. It was something I was talking about yesterday with some friends from the Jehovah's Witnesses who knocked on the door. I gave them a little resume of my sermon for this morning. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit should receive equal honour, equal glory from us as the one true and living God. Well, they didn't like it. Now, the word judgment in the Bible has various shades of meaning depending on its context. When Jesus says that all judgment has been committed to him as God's Son, he is probably referring in the first place to his entire reign at God's right hand as the mediator. Because reigning and judging in the Bible are sometimes synonymous. 2 Samuel 8 and verse 15, so David reigned over all Israel, and David administered judgment and justice to all his people. And so it is for the true David reigning over the true Israel, Jews and Gentiles who gladly submit to his royal authority. But judgment in the Bible also refers many times to what we call the final judgment at the last day at the return of the King. There are many days, but the last day in human history will soon be upon us. Jesus often referred to the last day in the Gospel of John. There are many divine judgments in human history, but the final judgment will soon be upon us. The Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Jesus is our judge. He's your judge. And he's my judge. I was astonished looking at this over the past few days to find that the New Testament is full of this great truth. For example, we find that this great truth was part and parcel of the apostolic preaching as recorded in the book of Acts. Let's listen to the Apostle Peter preaching to Cornelius and his family, Acts 10 and verse 42. Peter says God commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he, Jesus of Nazareth, who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. How astonishing, Jesus, the lowly carpenter from that backwater town of Nazareth, is your judge and mine. Let's also listen to the Apostle Paul preaching to the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers in Athens. Acts 17, verse 30. God commands all men everywhere to repent. Why is that? Because he, God, has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness with absolute justice by the man whom he has ordained. And he's given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Why does God command us all to repent, to turn from our sins, to embrace the Saviour in the arms of faith? It's because God has appointed a day. It's in the divine diary. And it's the day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained and appointed. Well, who is that man appointed by God to be our judge? It's the one God raised from the dead, says Paul. His incarnate Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, dear friends, is our judge. He's your judge and my judge. Every single person on the planet knows there's a day of judgment coming. We don't actually need special revelation in the Bible to know that. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 2, every human person has that inner sense of accountability that accounts for atheism and agnosticism. Because in our natural sinful state, the last thing we want to think about is the day of judgment and our last account to our Creator. But we do need special revelation in the Bible to discover that Jesus is our judge. As Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body. That's why, by the way, everybody will be raised from the dead, believers, unbelievers. That we may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And the good, of course, being the fruit of faith, and the bad being the fruit of unbelief. As Jesus often said, a tree is known by its fruit. This demonstrates the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what I was seeking to communicate to the Jehovah's Witnesses yesterday who knocked on the door. To show that as the Son, he is indeed equal with the Father. Isaiah 48, verse 11. God says he will not give his glory to another. He will not give his glory to another. Now, a large part of God's glory is that he is the righteous judge of all the earth. He's our creator. God has the right and the only right to judge us. Only God has the right to judge me and to judge you. Who do we think we are when we judge each other? That's really audacious when you think about it. Who do we think we are when we pass judgment on others and condemn them? This was a great concern of Paul for the church in Rome. Romans 14, verse 4, who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And yet, according to our text here in John 5, the Father has committed all judgment to the Son. Well, has God given his glory to another? By no means, because the Father and the Son are one. John 10, verse 30. As God's eternal Son, Jesus is not another, but he is eternally one with the Father. Of course, there is something of a divine irony in Jesus being appointed as our judge. Towards the end of Easter week, the Lord was brought before the bar of human judgment. Christ appeared before the Sanhedrin, the Jewish ruling council. Christ also appeared before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor in Jerusalem, and our Saviour was adjudged to be worthy of death. The tables will soon be turned, as we say. Christ once appeared before the judgment seat of sinful man, and soon sinful man will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, what does this mean for us in real terms? It means, and it's an awesome thought, it's a very solemn thought, it means that Jesus, our judge, will determine at the last day our eternal fate. We see that so clearly in Matthew chapter 25 from verse 31 to the end of the chapter. The Lord says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now, who are the sheep? Well, we know. The sheep are those who've heard the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him. John 10, verse 27. The sheep are those who believe in Jesus, love Jesus, and follow Jesus. The sheep are those in Matthew 25 who love and care for others as the fruit of genuine faith. They've got a faith that works through love. And at the last day, Jesus will invite his sheep to inherit the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. An eternal kingdom of perfect love and joy and peace. Well, who are the goats? All those who have despised and rejected Jesus as the Good Shepherd. All those who have not followed him. They've chosen to go their own sinful way instead. And in the context of Matthew 25, the goats include nominal Christians, Christians in name only, those with a dead and barren faith, from which no works of holy love have grown. Jesus will tell the goats to depart from him into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, it's a very striking thing in Matthew 25 that the eternal kingdom is prepared for the sheep, but the everlasting fire is not prepared for the goats. The fires of hell are prepared for the devil and his demonic hordes. But the goats have chosen the way of the devil rather than the Lord, and so they will join the devil. I guess I'm trying to communicate to us that the sheep have nothing to fear on the day of judgment. Yes, Jesus is our judge. He's your judge, my judge, whether we're believers, unbelievers here this morning. We will all of us, without a single exception, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, but the sheep have nothing to fear. There will be, at the last day, no condemnation for them. All of their sins have already been forgiven through faith in the blood of Jesus. And the final judgment for the sheep, all those who followed the Lord, will bring the eternal reward of a glorious kingdom. Because their faith in Jesus has proved to be a living faith, because it has brought forth the works of holy love. It's also clear that the goats have everything to fear for the day of judgment. Jesus will say to the sheep, "Come," what a blessed word. To hear Jesus, the glorious King, there on his throne. Jesus, our judge, and he says to the sheep, "Come, come. Come with me into the eternal kingdom and enjoy my glorious presence." And Jesus will say to the goats, one of the most terrifying words found in the Bible, he will say to them, "Depart. Depart. Depart from me. You wanted nothing to do with me in your life. You refuse my call to follow me. And so depart from me and go and join the devil and his angels. Because you've preferred to serve the evil one in the ways of sin rather than me in the ways of holy love." We're back to the narrow way leading to life and the broad road leading to destruction. And so, dear friends, in the light of all of this, it is absolutely crucial for each one of us that Jesus, our judge, becomes today Jesus, our Saviour and our friend. I have absolutely no fear at all for the day of judgment because I happen to know the judge himself. Jesus is indeed my judge, but my judge loves me and my judge died for me. My judge cares for me and he is with me throughout the journey of life. And my judge sympathizes with me in my weaknesses. And my judge will not condemn me at the last day because on Good Friday he was condemned in my place as the sin bearer. I pray that we would all of us have that same blessed assurance. Jesus is our judge, and it is of an unspeakable comfort to know him as our Saviour and our friend. The Father judges no one. He has committed all judgment to the Son. Amen.